Nissy Sturgis and Jordan Cawftry are well met by moonlight, on stage and off. The Illinois Shakespeare Festival actors share the stage in A Midsummer Night's Dream this season, and off stage they're united in marriage and proud parents of 3-year-old Owen. Sturgis and Cawftry have lived with this tune-filled version of Shakespeare's beloved comedy for some time now. Well known as a musical adapter of Shakespeare, Cawftry was working at the Arkansas Shakespeare Festival with Robert Quinlan when the director invited him to make music in Midsummer. Now this unique staging has come to the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, with Quinlan again at the helm, Sturgis as Tatiana and Hippolyta, and Cawftry playing Puck, and playing the music he wrote specifically for this renowned romantic romp, which has become a creative family affair.
It's such a magical, kind of fantastic play, and it involves, you know, fairies and spells. So we talked about the idea of having the spells and the magic be music. That's where it started, and it kind of bloomed and blossomed from there.
It just really sets the scene for all the different worlds, because you have the court, you have the forest, you have the world of the fairies, you have all these different things that sort of merge together, and when you have this thread of music throughout, it unifies things and it also helps get it more specific, and it creates a delight that the audience can follow a thread through. And in fact, one of the songs, if I can share this, that begins the show, it's called the I Love You Song, or an I Love You Song. I actually wrote for our son when he was first born. I would sing this to Owen, our son, and then Jordan adapted it and started intertwining the...
Adding all these other parts.
Yeah, all these parts and Shakespeare inside it, and now it's this beautiful round that's so joyful and begins the show in this just really buoyant and personal way.
Yeah.
It sounds like an extraordinary collaboration between yourselves and Shakespeare.
I know.
Yes,
it is. Who's been one of our greatest friends. Truly, throughout our lives and this art and through this strange world of the theater that has been such a home and has brought us some of the best people with whom we could ever hope to share our time, Shakespeare has been this constant of perspective about humanity. There's no situation that can come up in the news or just day-to-day in relationships that you can't look back to and think, oh, people have been dealing with this through all time. And to have someone who's interested in exploring that with you, Shakespeare, through all of his plays, really goes in depth with the human psyche and the human heart and has this great sense of play. I mean, making up all these words, and everyone immediately just, it's for all of us, and we connect and feel like our relationship has been strengthened and supported by exploring his work.
Yeah. You know, like nothing else, it's very touching that you can think that hundreds of years ago, someone else was in the audience listening to these words and feeling the same way that someone today in the audience hearing the words would feel the same way.
It's my favorite thing.
Where else can you find that except in Shakespeare?
I know. And it's remarkable to imagine. I mean, he was making up words. He was kind of creating language even as he was exploring the language that was already there. So his audiences at the time were hearing some words for the very first time, but understanding them on a deep human level. I mean, even if you don't feel like you know exactly what the words mean, you have a sense of it. You get it just as a human being, and it's really delightful. So I feel like we kind of share that. Audiences today share that. I mean, there are a lot of plays that people will be probably seeing or hearing for the first time, and just delighting in it the way they did back then.
So for the music in A Midsummer Night's Dream, how would you guys classify it? Or does it defy classification?
I write other songs as well, and I've kind of started calling my genre of music folk-ish.
I like that.
I mean, the instruments that we use, the instruments that I play, I play Puck in the show, and the instruments that Puck plays are the ukulele and the guitar and the mandolin. So kind of folkish instruments, but with different, I don't know, different genre. It feels like different genres come along. I mean, it's set.
You borrow sounds from all over.
From all over, yeah. And we've kind of been working through, I mean, some of the early renditions of some songs had sort of almost like a gospel feel, and some of them have a rock.
And that was more for Arkansas, and we thought, okay, well, let's where are we now with this company, and what do we want to say at this point? So then you can adapt, basically.
It's like a living play.
Yeah.
You're making the changes as it moves around.
Right. And adding songs and taking some songs away. There are some songs that have kind of almost a rock and roll feel, mm-hmm. and some that have sort of a jaunty, like 30s or 40s
yeah.
feel. It is kind of all over the map, which yeah. is great.
Well, you've got your mandolin with you.
I do.
Can we hear something?
Well, yeah. I got this mandolin for our baby shower. We have we have a little boy who's turning almost 3 now. So almost 3 years ago, we were having a baby shower,
and he'll be making a stage debut, if I may, this summer as the changeling.
Changeling would be the perfect mm-hmm. role for a 3-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So all 3 of us will get to be together.
For the first time, yeah.
Yeah, for the first time on
it's
stage.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It really, it's very special. But so for his baby shower, some dear friends of ours, Andy and Susanna, gave me this mandolin. And then, you know, a couple of years later, when I was asked to look at Puck and look at making music for it, I thought, well, maybe I should start trying to teach myself how to play the mandolin. It's just been hanging around. So
because you already knew how to play guitar and other string instruments.
That's mm-hmm. right, guitar and a little bit of ukulele. But I thought, what a great instrument for Puck. It's kind of Puck's bass instrument, and then he mm-hmm. picks up others along the way. And so does the rest of the cast, mm-hmm. too. But yeah, so I've got the mandolin here with me. So I thought I'd play one of my favorite songs.
Mine too.
Nice.
What's it called?
It's called All Shall Be Well.
Okay.
On the ground, sleep sound, I'll apply to your eye. Gentle lover, remedy. When thou wak'st, thou tak'st true delight in the sight of thy former lady's eye. And the country proverb known that everyone should take their own, and thy waiting shall be shown. Jack shall have Jill, naught shall go ill. This man shall have his mare again, and shall be well.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
Thank you.
So emotional, too.
Thanks.
That is gorgeous.
Yeah.
That must be a joy to sing in the show.
It is. It's a pleasure.
There are so many talented people in this company, and the musicians are, you know, they're so generous with their time and their ability, but they bring such heart to it. Everyone has their own unique experience to bring, and they're also game, and it's really beautiful right now to see people connect and share and open up and say, yes, I'm willing and I'm here, and what can we do together? And it's been really healing in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I think it's really special for this play too, in particular. Mm-hmm. I mean, I usually write music just for myself. You know, I don't usually play with a band or other people, really. I haven't really had that opportunity. But for this, there are all kinds of voices and instruments and instrumentalists that come together to create the music in the show. I think it's really beautiful for this play in which so many things kind of seem to be going wrong. You know, it's just really, things get really out of whack and out of balance in really fun and wonderful ways.
And it's Puck's fault.
And it was. Okay, all right. Yeah, it may be. But it's ultimately the community. It's the cast. It's the company. It's all of us kind of on this, you know, this ground level that come together and write this out of balance world mm-hmm. in a really beautiful way. And we get to do that with music. We get to join our voices with music and with harmony.
When you have a place that's as beautiful and unique as Ewing Manor, to honor that place by bringing together artists that say, we value beauty and we are willing to risk what we value and giving up time wherever we live and come to this place and build together and meet the people of Bloomington Normal and say, it matters that you're here. It matters that this place is here. How can we celebrate what's special about where you are and where we all are together?
And there's something really great about it being an outdoor theater, too, amid this beautiful manor and the beautiful garden. That the theater is, I mean, it is contained, but it's this open air. The audience sees us up on stage. We see the audience. We interact with the audience. We come in and out of the audience. You know, we're all in it together. There's no real divide. The fourth wall that we call it in the acting world, where you ignore the audience, really gets torn down in this play in really fun and exciting ways. So,
and with it being an outdoor theater, you can talk about the sun and the sky or the clouds, and you all look up together and see it. And it's so rare that we take the time to do that.
Oh,
but Shakespeare asks us to do that.
Right. And in Midsummer Night's Dream especially, so much of it takes place in the forest, out in the forest, in the wild. And we've got the forest and the wild right with us.
You've got the crickets and all that stuff going on that would be there.
That would be there, right. It's not a distraction. It's immersive. It's part of the world. I mean, there's one line in the beginning song, the sweet breeze gives the trees a gentle kiss. But I sing that line, the sweet breeze gives the trees a gentle kiss, and you hear the wind blowing through the trees as you're singing it. It's so cool.
Well, speaking of gentle kisses.
Where are we going with this?
Well, it's something that you two have shared. You're a married couple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
You've been together for a number of years now. What is that like for you? What are the biggest challenges and the biggest joys of being an actor pair?
I immediately start crying when you ask me this question. To have someone love you over time and through any struggle is incredibly profound and humbling. When you have someone do that in this world of theater, which is so much about putting yourself in someone else's shoes, and you have your partner see you do that and see you grow by telling these stories and see you struggle as you know, to learn anything takes time. But to have your partner watch you learn in front of other people, telling their stories and sharing your own rarefication, it's very intense. But it's also vulnerable in a way that I think makes us, we celebrate what's truly real about the other.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a very unique life, the life of an actor, particularly actors who travel very often. But acting generally, I mean, there's an ebb and flow as opportunities come and opportunities go, which is thrilling and frightening. Mm-hmm. And it's so wonderful to have a partner who is in that trench with you.
Because it's really hard.
But and also on that mountaintop with you, you know, to celebrate with you. And to understand both the high and the low in a way that is as unique as the lifestyle itself.
And to be given the opportunity by this theater and from our friend Robert Quinlan, who is the director of the piece, who has seen us over time. He met us before we were married and saw each of us as our own talents. It's rare that a place gives you the opportunity to work together at all, so we feel incredibly fortunate. But to have someone who is as skilled as Robert Quinlan and his ability to trust us and trust our relationship to hopefully enhance the process instead of complicate it, you know? Because keeping the personal and professional in balance, that's hard for anybody in their lives.
Yeah.
But to have a friend see you and trust you and say, you're welcome here, and I know what this can bring to this process.
Yeah.
Well, would it be at all possible? Could we go out with another song? Maybe even a duet?
Oh my goodness. Whoa.
Oh, for them.
I'll see if I can jump in there.
How now, spirit? Whither wander you?
Over hill, over dale, through bush, through briar, over park, over pale, through flood, through fire, I do wander everywhere, swifter than the moon's sphere. Oh, I do wander everywhere. Either I do mistake your shape and making quite, or thou art that shrewd and knavish sprite that some call Robin or sweet, sweet Huck. You do their work and they shall have good luck. Are you not he?
Who speaks the right? I am that merry wanderer of the night. And I do wander. I jest to King Oberon and make him smile when I a fat and bean-fed horse beguile.
And I serve the fairy queen to do her orbs upon the green. I do wander.
Who speaks the right? I am than the moon's feet.
I do wander everywhere.
Who speaks the right? I am
swifter than the
wonder of the night. And I do wander everywhere.
Farewell, thou lob of spirits. I'll be gone. My queen and all her elves come here anon.
That's Nissi Sturgis and Jordan Cawftry from the Illinois Shakespeare Festival. A Midsummer Night's Dream runs tomorrow night at Ewing Theater. I'm Laura Kennedy.